Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Falb, my co-host. Nasser Hamid is on assignment. This is podcast number 424, May 9th, 2010. Steven?
This F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audiblepodcast.com/F1Weekly or click on the link on our homepage. Over 75,000 titles to choose from for your iPod, iPhone, or MP3 player. Listen to one, you know you want to.
Thank you, Steven. On today's program, Vettel cursed or just hard on the car? Fernando says, look, no hands. And teams agree to ban the F-duct for the 2011 season. Steven, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers, and yourself?
No, not too bad. Very interesting race, a lot of things happening. Of course, Ferrari testing the F-duct. On Friday practice, their version of it.
It's not an F-duct at Ferrari. It's a blown wing.
A blown wing. Okay. Well, it was crude, but it did help, so they decided to use it in the race.
Yes, a very interesting bit of technology, especially the way it was activated by the drivers.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I'm a big fan of all this F-duct stuff.
You know, I like the idea. I like the concept, but It started cheating. You know, it's almost to the point of being a movable aerodynamic feature.
Well, there's nothing really moving, but still, it's causing a lot of chaos. But Ferrari has decided to use it in the race, which was good.
We'll see how it works out for him.
Absolutely. But let's go ahead and go right to the qualifying in Espanol briefly. I want to mention that Mercedes has a new engine cover.
Yes, very interesting the way they've changed up the traditional air intake.
Yeah, the roll hoop or whatever you want to call it above the driver's head. They sort of split it
and put it on both sides of the cowl instead of, you know, basically being the front of the cowl. You know, I wonder how much aerodynamic gain they get because basically you still got the same amount of surface area, you know, because the size of the opening is dictated by the technical regs, might have a little bit of help in the fact that you're basically breaking that air before it hits. But I would actually think you might have more problems with it, turbulence with the air going into the duct.
Well,
into the intake.
They're saying you get cleaner air on the rear air dam or rear wing, so.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that because it's not a block. It's, you know, kind of turned around.
And, of course, this is all to please Michael Schumacher, Steve.
Oh, what? He didn't like the old one?
He wants his car
to be neat and pretty.
Well, it's definitely helped him. He looked a lot better this
weekend. I think the longer wheelbase car, you know, basically really suited him significantly better than the previous car. And Frank, if I'm Nico, I'm going, hey, give me back that short wheelbase. It works better for me.
Yeah.
Well, and it will be interesting to see which car they take to Monaco because, you know, being on the tighter circuit, whether, you know, the longer wheelbase can be a bit of a detriment.
It can be, but we'll see what happens. That's just next weekend. Anyway, let's go right to quali. The usual folk out in Q1. It was interesting how late the Red Bulls came out.
Yeah, I was actually kind of surprised that it took him as long as it did to get out. Again, I always am leery of anybody going out so late because you never know when you're going to get some
a red flag.
Yeah, somebody's going to make a big old schlamozzle, especially with the number of new cars that we have. You know, and you could easily just freeze yourself out by not getting out there and just dropping in a quick lap.
Well, you think they would have learned their lesson, but they didn't. But there was perfect weather, clear skies.
You knew the weather wasn't going to be an issue, but you never know what, you know, somebody's going to manage to pace his car across the track.
I agree. 10 minutes to go. It was Lewis Hamilton on top, Robert Kubica, Fernando Alonso, Jenson Button, and Nico Hülkenberg. Doing a pretty good job this weekend, outpacing Rubinho.
Definitely doing better than Rubinho at this track this weekend, especially considering Rubinho had the upgrades.
Well, he had the upgrades, but we'll talk about that later. He says that they didn't really work, and there was a lot of whining from Rubinho.
I was amazed at the amount, you know, it's not Rubinho's fault, it's everything else.
Of course.
It was a little annoying because he is the odd man out in the first session outside of the six from the new teams.
Yeah, and he was the surprise.
And he's going, oh, it was traffic. My favorite one, though, was, oh, they distracted me by talking to me on the radio. Are you a professional race car driver or what, Ruben?
And Rubens has been around for how many Grand Prix? 44 million?
Yeah.
Traffic is an issue. You deal with it.
289th
something
Grand
like that.
Prix or something ridiculous like that. It's like, frankly, Ruben, just walk out and go, hey, I screwed up. I didn't get out of quali. Don't try to blame something or somebody else.
I agree. Very disappointing from Rubinho, a seasoned veteran. But, yeah, big disappointment for Williams. But Nico Hülkenberg does a good job and gets into Q2. And Q2 was interesting because Red Bull comes out right away.
It's like, huh?
Who's in charge over there?
Exactly. Well, they wanted to put them both really close together so that, you know, the team could get some rest later.
I agree. And the other driver that is getting out qualified this weekend, it's Vitantonio Liuzzi. Adrian Sutil is
dominating him, really. Vitantonio really hasn't shown that he can drive that car nearly as fast. They're both out in the session, and they're almost a second apart time-wise, which, you know, Vitantonio had some promise when he came into the sport.
He was exciting, but I don't know what's happened, and of course their test driver is dying to get that seat.
Oh, yeah, big time.
So, Vitantonio out in Q2, including Vitaly Petrov.
Wait. Can somebody give you a new pronunciation?
Yeah, I have
for Vitaly Petrov.
Yeah, well, Petrov is, I want to give him a chance, and sometimes he has spirited drives that look pretty good, but he's got to be a little bit more consistent, or he's not going to keep that seat.
No, he's been very consistent. He's consistently a heck of a lot slower than his teammate,
and he wrecks the car a lot too.
Yeah, well, if anything, you know, somebody's going to end up, you know, busting his leg in the alley, you know, in Gasoline Alley after the race because they're tired of repairing his car the night before quali.
I know. So, if Mr. Petrov, you know, you can tolerate mistakes and wrecks if you're improving every week.
Right. But he doesn't appear to be 22-02. You see, he's almost a second and a half off of his teammate's time.
Not good. We don't like that. I don't know.
Also out in that second session are the two STRs of Sebastian Buemi and Jaime Alguersuari, Nico Hülkenberg, Pedro De La Rosa, and Adrian Sutil. Pedro, not necessarily a good thing for him because that means his teammate outqualified him again, and he's kind of on the hot seat at Sauber at the moment. If the reports in the press have been correct.
That's true. Kobayashi being a little more excited, younger. And we saw that Kobayashi that we liked at Toyota.
Yeah.
Glimpses of it.
Yeah, he can get it done. But, again, he's, you know, and I hate the stereotype, but he's almost that Japanese F1 driver in that he has a hard time keeping the car on the track.
Right. Well, still, he did a good job and got into Q3. And then when Q3 started, for a moment, I thought that Sauber might just keep the car in the paddock, in the garage, because to get out of 10th would have been miraculous.
Would have been a pretty good feat, considering by the time they end the session, they're 4/10 off the pace of Felipe Massa's car, who qualified in 9th. Speaking of Felipe Massa, well, you another young man who may be getting some nasty rumors in his head.
Well, the problem with Felipe Massa is all weekend, there was absolutely very little or none at all talk about Felipe Massa.
Outside the fact of Robert Kubica being
the rumor,
supposedly signed to an option contract by Ferrari for next season. Which as somebody else mentioned, it seems a bit late for Ferrari to be making that, basically signing Robert up to that contract. And wasn't Robert signed to more than 1 year at Renault?
I don't remember.
That's the thing.
But contracts are meant to be broken, Steve. Yeah. So even if he is signed for 3 years, look at where Kimi Räikkönen is.
He's in WRC, making a small paycheck and getting paid a huge paycheck from the guys at Ferrari.
Correct. And he didn't participate in the New Zealand rally because the junior team, they can't afford to send everybody to New Zealand. So
he could have bankrolled the trip to New Zealand.
But
come on.
Besides the point, I think he just decided to stay home and have an ice cream and a couple of Finlandias.
He's probably making his arrangements to be in Monaco next weekend.
Of course, to
hang out on the yachts.
And we'll have a full report from Nasser when he comes back from Barcelona in the middle of the week. But let's go right to Q3. Robert Kubica out first.
And again, Robert Kubica making more of a car that nobody really thinks is going to be that fast, and he's making it competitive.
Yeah, and if he can make it competitive, I think Renault has made some forward progress. They didn't bring any huge upgrades to this race.
Well, frankly, if anything, Renault's keeping up. They're not, they're not getting any kind of leap ahead, but they're not falling back either.
Right.
Which I think is a good sign for Renault.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think if Petrov can pick up the pace, Renault could have a decent season.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have a halfway decent season in the fact that they've got Robert Kubica and he's getting them points every week.
Absolutely. Now, Ferrari, they've been focused. They still think that they're the championship contenders, the favorites, which is not unusual. They are called Ferrari.
Yeah, they always think they're the favorites. I don't think at this moment that they are the favorites. I think that they are contenders, but I wouldn't put them as favorites considering the performance of the Red Bulls.
Right. Well, Red Bull is in a league of their own.
Again,
in qualifying, these guys are out of control.
Everybody's bringing their gimmicks. Red Bull doesn't have them, and Red Bull's still outpacing them.
That's the impressive part.
Which just blows me away, because we can go back to last season where Braun shows up with a double diffuser. Red Bull doesn't. Red Bull's just as fast as the Braun, even though they don't have it.
Yes, I agree.
Though they did bring in their own little trick aerodynamic bit this weekend with the venting from the floor to the rear diffuser, which seemed to give them a bit of benefit in the slower corners.
That's true. But Red Bull just phenomenally fast. And once again, you expect them to lock out the front row.
You certainly expect them to be in the top three.
Absolutely.
Somebody might be able to sneak in there because Lewis was looking like he was going to split them there for a minute.
But and the McLaren is looking very good.
Was looking quite good, and especially in Lewis's hands on the one hot lap, they were looking really fast.
Yeah.
Their F-duct apparently is very helpful, especially on the long straight.
And Jenson Button, a little uncomfortable this weekend in the car, Lewis Hamilton outpacing him.
Yep.
Which, Lewis Hamilton seems, in certain areas, that's why I think Jenson Button and Lewis Hamilton do complement each other.
Yeah.
They're so different in driving techniques.
And style. Yeah, Button very much kind of, I almost want to say conservative driver, whereas Lewis Hamilton tends to be a lot more out on the edge of the envelope, and really pushing his car to its maximum. They tend to get close to the same kind of lap times, but do it kind of in a different manner.
And Michael Schumacher looking pretty good.
Looking definitely racy. You know, he out-qualifies his teammate for the first time all season by about 0.4. No, about 0.2. But does out-qualify him for the first time. So the new car obviously suiting Michael more or better than the previous car did.
Of course, and they're looking at the Red Bulls too, going, you know, how can we catch up to these guys? And right now, I think McLaren and Ferrari are the closest to the Red Bulls.
Definitely, they're the two that have, well, they're the only two that can really compete with them on a level. But even you get into quali, when it's all said and done, Mark Webber's on pole, and he has 0.9 seconds on
Lewis Hamilton,
who's qualifying third. It's like, what? And he's almost a full second. He is almost a full second ahead of Fernando in the Ferrari, who qualified fourth, which is phenomenal. So the Red Bulls lock out the front row. Mark Webber takes pole. Sebastian Vettel in P2. Lewis Hamilton, P3. Fernando, P4. Jensen and Michael will share row 3. Robert Kubica and Nico Rosberg will share row 4. And Felipe Massa and Kobayashi will share the 5th row. Fun qualifying. No real major
surprises, yeah, except for Schumacher landing the 5th spot. I thought everything looked fairly normal.
Yeah, well, and more or less what we kind of expected this weekend, with them bending over backwards to get Michael a car that better suited his driving style.
Yeah, and I thought Ferrari may be able to split the Red Bulls. And, when, you know, in watching Fernando using their version of the F-duct, I thought was awkward. The hand covering the hole, and he's adjusting the brake bias, and then all of a sudden you realize he's not touching the steering wheel, and they're going, you know, 190 miles an hour. The whole thing just looked a little...
And Fernando in the press going, oh, I don't take my hands off the wheel. Dude, we can watch you. Okay, you've got maybe your fingertips barely on there still when you're closing the hole, but still.
Yeah, the awkward, but we'll see how it goes. At least he was on the second row.
And it's something that's really not going to do anybody any good in Monaco, because there isn't really... There's maybe one section on that entire track where... I take that back. Two, where something like that may give you some help.
I concur. We'll see if Ferrari brings it to Monaco. To be honest with you, I don't see why they would.
No.
Because over there, you better have two hands on the steering wheel.
Exactly. Because there is no room for mistakes.
Exactly.
It's going to be interesting to see the three new teams in Monaco and how long their cars last.
Well, there was talk about splitting the qualifying in Monaco in two segments to get the riffraff, the junk, out of the neighborhood.
Well, to basically allow there to be room on the track for all the cars. Last I'd heard, Charlie Whiting said, no. But then listening to the broadcast today, apparently there hasn't been a definitive no to it yet. So,
well, I've heard that it's no.
Yeah, that's what I'd heard too.
So I'll be surprised if there's any changes, because Monaco first practice is on Wednesday.
Yep, and you take a day off.
And you come back on Friday.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens there, but there's not going to be a split qualifying. They're going to stick to the rules. Things like that need to be sorted out at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. And, you know, basically, if you're going to want that to happen, you need to bring it up in the off season this season, especially if we're going to get a 26, you know, going to get another team and have 26 cars instead of 24.
Well, so far we have nothing but an extra Phantom team we still can't find Peter Windsor anywhere.
And I'm kind of sad, because Will Buxton, he's a nice guy, but
he's no
Peter Windsor on the grid.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't seen the American feed, but no, I can see how Speed Channel is suffering without Peter Windsor. Anyway, let's go right to the Grand Prix, or Gran Premio de España.
Telefónica.
Exactly, and of course, what's good about Barcelona, I like this track. It's fairly technical, and from pole to the first corner, it's the longest straight in Formula One.
the longest start run, basically run down to the
first. Right, and before the first breaking point.
Right.
So what makes it pretty exciting, and of course, there's been chaos a number of times at this track.
Definitely. this is one of those tracks where you can lose six cars on that first corner.
Yeah.
Pretty easily.
But it seems like, I don't know, these days teams, they talk to each other, make deals.
I don't know if it's deals so much, but I think that everybody
wants to finish all, the race.
Everybody talks it up about being smart going down into that first turn. And there is some hairy driving, but we don't lose anybody. In the first corner.
I think we ended up clean start.
Yeah. I think we ended up with two broken wings, and that was it, which is, for a start in Spain, is like, huh?
It was fantastic.
And it was a really fun start, too.
Unfortunately, Heikki Kovalainen wasn't at that meeting. He didn't get off the grid. They had to push him back into the paddock.
They had to push him back into the paddock before they even had the roll-off.
Yeah, and then they find out he's not going to be in the race. There's a hydraulic issue. He's out of there.
Yeah.
So Lotus not starting
one of their two cars. That's just got to be rough on a driver. You know, you're psyched. You're prepared. You're all ready to go. You drive it out to the grid, and it, like, falls apart. It's like, what the F is going on with this car?
Well,
it's the price you pay when you're with a team that's, you know, basically still learning how to build Formula One cars.
Yeah, but still, when you compare them to Virgin and HRT, I expect Lotus to maybe do a little bit better.
Well, they brought their upgrades, and they got the second they were trying to get.
Right.
But apparently, one of the upgrades had nothing to do with improving the reliability of the vehicle.
Yeah. So, too bad for them. But, like Steve said, the lights go out. Very clean start. Mark Webber has a wonderful start. Sebastian Vettel realizes he's on the dirty side. It's not going to work. He stays right behind Mark Webber. Lewis Hamilton, who goes on to the right in the inside looking for a spot to go through, he can't.
Nope.
Fernando Alonso, nowhere to go.
No. The Red Bulls did a really good job. Vettel looked to get past his teammate, realized he wasn't going to be able to. He got in, got a draft underneath him so he could stay right with him through the first turn. And, you know, Lewis tried to go to the inside. Fernando tried to go to the outside, but the Red Bulls beat him to the first corner. There was no way they were going to get past him at that point.
Yep, it was Mark Webber, Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, Fernando Alonso, Jenson Button, Michael Schumacher, Felipe Massa, Adrian Sutil, Jaime Alguersuari, and Robert Kubica running off the top 10.
Yeah, Robert had a really poor start, losing a couple of positions.
Well, speaking of poor starts, Bruno Senna, terrible. Went into the gravel, he was out. He tried a little aggression, thought he could pass some people. Now, let me see. You're the slowest car on the track. Why would you even bother?
Yeah. You know.
Why? Just frankly, focus on the race.
Yeah. Frankly, you need to finish. You know, it's more important for you to be in the race, get the laps, put time on the clock of the car so that you guys have data for working towards improvement.
Exactly. I would be extremely angry if I was the team boss and I saw that.
Yeah.
Because it was a complete waste of time. You're better off being last, getting the laps in, getting the data, getting the reliability, and getting that car to begin to even resemble a Formula One car.
Exactly. Really not a smart a move on his part.
Exactly. Lap two. Sebastian Buemi pits. Apparently,
He got in it with somebody and broke a wing.
Broke a wing.
And I think it may have been Pedro de la Rosa. Because Pedro de la Rosa basically had a flat from the first quarter all the way around the track. Basically completely destroyed his left rear.
Rubens Barrichello had a great start. He was up four spots and came out in front of Nico Hülkenberg. So he went neener, neener, neener. Yeah.
My car is faster than yours.
I thought it was bizarre, but good for Rubinho.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe Nico is under team orders.
Fast lap of the race already. Mark Webber, 128.430.
Which, you know, I heard somebody come up and say that. I'm like, going, of course it's the fastest lap of the race. It's the first lap.
But, you know, that's how the timesheets don't differentiate. No, those purple, it goes purple. Lap 3, fast lap of the race, Mark Webber with a 128.74. Lap 4, fast lap of the race, Mark Webber with a 127.990. And Kobayashi, who we were just talking about, looking really good in quali, doing a great job for Sauber. It looked like they might have taken a few steps forward. He loses like 6 spots. Not sure what happened to Kobe.
It's one of those ones.
He dropped back.
I think it's one of those ones where
avoiding maybe traffic.
Yeah, I think what he ends up, he probably lost a spot on the race down in the first corner, and then ended up in bad spots in each of in the upcoming turns, where he was in a bad position, and other people were able to take advantage of him because he couldn't couldn't block. Etc.
Perhaps lap 5, fast lap of the race. Surprise, Mark Webber, 127.608. And right after that, we got a little peek. Ferrari came on the radio to speak with Felipe Massa, and once again, telling him how to drive.
Yeah.
Telling Felipe to push, baby. You're just as competitive. You should be catching up Michael Schumacher. I'm sure he's just overjoyed in hearing this.
Yeah, frankly, if Ferrari really wants to motivate Felipe that way, electrify his seat.
That's
you want him to go
idea.
Faster? Zap him.
There you go. That works. Lap 7, Mark Webber.
Fastest lap of the race.
No, 1.9 seconds to Sebastian Vettel. Pulling away a little bit. Vettel trying to keep up. This is a great.
Well, I think it seemed to me that Vettel was pulling back just a little bit to make sure they got clean air. Mark Webber just has a really good race. He's clean. He's not making any silly mistakes. The Red Bulls are both starting to pull away just a little bit. We'll see how this works out.
Well, Mark Webber said it before the race that he was hoping for a boring race. He is on pole, take off, and it's going to be, lap after lap after lap.
Exactly. And
it starts out that way.
Exactly. Well, and this track is notorious for the pole sitter winning. I think they were saying 12 of 16 or 18 times this race
last
has been run.
Last 9 races, I believe.
And the last 9 have been won by the pole sitter. So.
Yeah. So that doesn't leave for a lot of excitement, but there you have it. Lap 9, fast lap of the race. Guess who? Mark Webber, 127.559. And I'm thinking this could be a boring race, guys.
Yeah, thank goodness we had a little bit of interesting things going on down in the field, though even those weren't really that exciting because some people who we'll talk about a little bit later just couldn't get past other people.
Yeah, a lot of whining and crying.
Yeah.
Lap 12, Mark Webber to Sebastian Vettel, 3.1 seconds. Nico Hülkenberg is now really all over the back of Rubens Barrichello for P12.
Yep, and I'm sure Rubens on the radio of the pits going, get him off me.
Well, I don't know about that, but probably saying, maybe he needs the pit for tires or something.
Yeah.
Giving him some advice. Sebastian Buemi passes Timo Glock for P18, so keep up the good work there, Sebastian. Vittorio Luisi pits from P16, goes with the hard compound, and comes out right next to Sebastian Buemi and holds his position.
Yeah, that was a bit interesting. Did a really good job of holding off, basically going, dude, I'm here, I'm staying.
Vitaly Petrov pits from P15. Lap 14, guess what? Fast lap of the race, Mark Webber with 127.357. And finally, we get a little excitement. Pit stops are coming up. Michael Schumacher pits. 3.8 second stop.
Phenomenally beautifully turned pit stop. That
yeah.
Basically, bing, bang, boom, out the door.
That was the fastest stop of the race.
Yeah, they nailed it.
Felipe Massa pits. Nico Rosberg pits. And that was a weird pit stop.
Yeah.
I felt sorry for him.
Yeah, because I think that actually ends up costing him a position. Basically, he leaves his box.
After they change tires.
Yep. But apparently the right front gun guy goes, stop him, stop him, stop him. That's not set.
And they had to grab the car,
push it back
into the box.
So they could tighten that right front wheel nut and then send him on his way. But frankly, better to catch him before he gets out of the box than to let him go out on the track and end his race by having the tires spin off into the barriers.
Exactly. And there's some more problems with pit stops very shortly. Lap 16, Sebastian Vettel pits, 6.2 second stop. But there seems to, it's not a great stop. There could be a little problem tightening that front nut again.
Yeah, and I've got to wonder if maybe that leads to some of the problems that Sebastian has later in the race.
Perhaps.
That maybe there was already something wrong even at that point in the race.
Not sure.
Yeah, it's really hard to tell what's going on.
Jenson Button pits, Fernando Alonso pits. Jenson Button has somewhat of a slow pit stop as well. Not very good karma this weekend.
No. You can kind of smell that it's not going to be Jensen's weekend in the way it has been for the last couple.
Robert Kubica pits, Jaime Alguersuari pits, and Kobe pits as well. On lap 17, the leader pits, 4.4 second stop, excellent stop. Lewis Hamilton pits, and Lewis Hamilton comes out ahead of Sebastian Vettel. And that little nudge, that 2 second loss in Sebastian Vettel's pit stop.
Critical.
Very critical.
And it's crazy how tight and how close these cars are matched that kind of tiny bobble can cost you track position.
Exactly. Yarno Trulli and Sebastian Buemi are now under investigation, announced by the FIA.
Yeah, for continuity. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Whatever. Let's get back to the people who really matter.
And, of course, lap 18 is the beginning of a long day for Jenson Button, trying to pass Herr Schumacher. Which, he doesn't get the pass.
No. And it's funny because he's right on his butt at the end of the front straight. He runs around the track, and by the time they come out of the last turn, Schumacher's put just enough space on him that Button can't pick it up.
Not only that, but Button is always trying to pass him at the exact same spot every lap. Somebody like Schumacher is not going to fall for this.
No, he's going to basically block you out every time. There were a couple other spots that he tried, and frankly, he should have been able to get him at the end of the front straight. He just needed to stay close because there was one onboard shot where they were showing this fight. And Button's behind him. And I swear to you, Button is outpacing him by 10, 15 miles an hour. And you can see him gaining the space on the straight.
He's got the F-duct.
But he's never close enough to make it stick.
And I think he's a little too conservative. He needs to really take a chance, go on the inside, stick his nose in there, and tell Michael, you know what? I'm on top of the world championship standings right now. I'm going through.
I'm the reigning world champion, damn it.
Yeah, exactly. So I think he should have been a little bit more aggressive, and this is where I guess that's why the two drivers balance out fairly well. So on lap 18, we have Mark Webber, Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, Fernando Alonso, and Michael Schumacher round off the top five. Lap 19, fast lap of the race, Lewis Hamilton, 127.142. He is excited, he's got new tires, and he's flying.
Yeah.
He's in P2. He's excited.
Yeah, and I frankly think that the McLaren might be a tad bit faster than the Red Bull is.
Huh? What?
When it's loaded when it's full of gas.
Perhaps, yes.
It does seem to have a little bit more pace, particularly in the middle part of the race. With the weight, it seems to perform just a little bit better than the Red Bulls. But then again, maybe it's not. Maybe Mark Webber and Sebastian Vettel are cruising rather than pushing at this point because of their positions on track.
Well, depending on what kind of data and telemetry the team is seeing from each car, that they do make adjustments how hot the engine is, how hot the brakes are. So they could have been already, Mark Webber very well could have been already cruising.
Right, exactly.
Lap 19. Pedro De La Rosa pits, and it's game over, dude. He's out of the car.
Yeah, rough weekend for Pedro to basically.
Completely.
It's like he needed a good weekend and then to have the car give up on him.
Not only that, but Sauber needs those laps in for development. They need to refine this car, which is not turning out to be a great car.
No, it's almost like they got the same BMW they had last year that was just a total underperformer.
Yep. Lap 21. Fast lap of the race. Mark Webber is back.
Back on top.
127.099. And there was a rumor that McLaren may have had a front wheel nut problem.
It didn't come across on the feed I was watching.
Huh. You were watching that secret Russian feed.
Yeah, maybe they talked about it. I just didn't understand them.
That's it. Lap 22, Jenson Button is all over Michael Schumacher's bootay.
But that's all he is all over his bootay. He's not getting past that bootay.
Yeah, I know. Fast lap of the race on lap 22, Mark Webber continues to pound him in. And it's been announced there's a drive-through penalty for car number 16. Car number 16. Sebastian Buemi. Some kind of incident with Jarno Trulli.
Yeah, that was the wheel bumping or
I don't think it was grave. Lap 23, Jarno Trulli pits. Lap 24, fast lap of the race. Mark Webber continues to pound them in. And on this lap, it was interesting. Three cars are going around Karun Chandok, and Felipe Massa is the third car.
And he very neatly puts himself in the back of the HRT.
I know, and it was. I thought it was almost more of Felipe Massa's fault than it was the HRT's. I mean, the HRT was trying to get out of the way.
The HRT was as far over on the side of the track as he could get, and Felipe basically almost runs right up his bitay, right up, almost runs into. In fact, he actually does end up snapping off one of his variable wings.
He does damage his front wing, but it's not enough. And it's funny, they get on the radio and they tell Felipe, yes, you have a damaged front wing, but you're a second faster now.
You're actually faster now, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, and so we found the solution, you know, so they were, at least somebody was giggling at Ferrari.
Schmedley has his way with that one.
I know. Well, I'm not going to get involved in that relationship. Fast lap of the race, lap 26, Sebastian Vettel with a 1.26878. Vettel is picking it up. Well, he's thinking, you know, maybe he could get around this McLaren.
He might be, you know, he's thinking that he might be able to catch up to Lewis and at least maybe challenge. Because, you know, we know that when this car gets light, this car is hecka fast. You know, if they go back and look at their data from qualifying, they know that they can be almost a second faster per lap when they're light.
And another young man that's having a pretty good race for Toro Rosso is Jaime Alguersuari. He's starting to become more mature, making good decisions, and did pretty good in qualifying. I think he's driving better than Buemi in this race.
Yeah, definitely. Consistent. Buemi seems a little bit scattered. You know, he's had a couple of run-ins, and I think that's kind of put him off his game. Alguersuari is pretty much keeping his head down and getting his laps in.
But then he lost his head. Because on lap 28, apparently he, I don't know, I wasn't sure if he did it on purpose or not, but cuts off Karun Chandok and just rips the front wing off of the HRT. And of course, Jaime just continues on with his race. And Karun just has to pit right now.
He's got to go in to get a new wing, couple new tires.
And he was pissed. And later on, he speaks with Bernie.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, and Bernie was pissed off.
Uh-oh.
Well, you know, we got an Indian Grand Prix coming up.
Yeah, don't upset the Indians.
Exactly. There you have it. Lap 29, fast lap of the race. Mark Webber, 1.26.468. And unfortunately,
that was more damage to Chandok's car than just the front wing, because apparently he's got suspension damage or something because he pulls off into the grass.
Yep.
Big to bummer. Retire.
Big bummer for HRT, but at least they were giving it their all. Lap 31, Sebastian Vettel staying close to Lewis Hamilton. Only 1.6 second gap. And Kamui Kobayashi is trying to pass Vitaly Petrov.
I'm sorry for you because they did not show his manager this week.
Really?
At least I
didn't see her either.
Yeah. So maybe she was not there. Maybe she couldn't get a flight because of the
hurricane. You know, I'm over her.
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Moved on.
Yes, I have moved on.
And about this time that Jaime gets a drive-through penalty for his little incident involving Chandok.
No, and this is a well-deserved drive-through penalty. Lap 34, the team is telling Fernando Alonso that Michael Schumacher is holding up everybody And you might have time to come in for a new set of tires. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting. And actually, you looked at the gap, and he probably could have come in for another pair of tires. But
he had enough of a gap, but his tires were working well.
Yeah, and then I don't think they're the loss, the benefit of coming in for the new tires. He would have had to make up too much time to make them worthwhile as far as challenging for the next position. You know, for trying to catch Weber.
I agree. And speaking of Michael Schumacher holding everybody up, I've heard these things before. There are ways to get by drivers. And on lap 37, Jenson Button is still behind Michael Schumacher.
Yeah. He's either holding them up or he's driving a hell of a race.
Exactly.
You know, it's like if Button's car was fast enough to pass Michael, Button probably would have passed Michael.
I agree. I think he was being too conservative, I said earlier, and lap 38, this is getting a little...
Starting to get a little old.
It's a little old. You know, Jenson Button, do something or quit yapping.
Yeah. You know, how come you're not, screaming for the stewards? He's blocking. And, the thing I liked about Michael, too, is unlike Lewis Hamilton in Sepang, Michael's blocking moves, very subtle,
and precise.
Significantly more than the one or two you're allowed. Can see him making more, but they're just tiny adjustments rather than whipping across the track to get in front of his opponent.
It's called professionalism.
Yeah, exactly.
No, very, very good stuff. Lap 39, Mark Webber, fast lap of the race, 1:25.920. Nico Rosberg on lap 41 is all over Nico Hülkenberg. It's the battle of the Fleekelflukels.
The battle of the former GP2 champs.
Yes, exactly. So pretty good stuff there. I like that Nico's battling it out. And on lap 41, fast lap of the race, Fernando Alonso. Who needs new tires?
Yeah, I don't need no stinking new tires.
I mean, I was going, wow, that's pretty impressive at that stage of the race. Lap 42, another fast lap from Fernando. Bravo, bravo, bravo.
And you got to wonder if maybe these fast laps, maybe you're getting into the back of Louis' head.
Who?
Lewis Hamilton's.
I don't know.
The gap was pretty big by then.
It was. But still, Fernando, I think by now, is settling with the position he had. He figured,
you never know what's going to happen.
Fourth place isn't too bad.
No. And, he was in third at the time. Was he third or did he already pass?
I can't remember, Steve. You've got the data. You're the information man.
But I think he was already in third at this point.
No, I don't think so.
No?
Nope. It was Mark Webber, Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, Fernando Alonso, and way in the back, Michael Schumacher holding up
the train.
The soul train.
The Michael Schumacher train.
But
yeah, he's in fourth. He knows that, he don't know what can happen, but he's not close enough to make a difference, really, as far as being able to catch somebody. So he's kind of put it in a little bit of cruise control.
Exactly. But Fernando will make up some spots, and we'll tell you how that happens. On lap 42, Sebastian Vettel, his front wing apparently is stuck in a certain position. Now, they have 6 degrees of adjustment. And I know that sounds very little.
But when you're talking about downforce, it is quite a bit.
It is.
I think they were saying the left-hand side one, it the motor fried or something. It couldn't rotate it back. And the thought is that may be preventing solid airflow over the brake ducts to keep them cool.
Yeah, which is always a problem, especially with Red Bull and Sebastian Vettel. Lap 43, Sebastian Buemi pits from P17, and he is out. Hydraulic problems. Lap 44, fast lap of the race. It's back to Mark Webber, 1:25.147. He's closing in on the 1:24 mark. Very, very exciting. Lap 45, Mark Webber does it again, 1:34. Lap 46, apparently all the timing screens for the teams, which are from the FIA,
went out.
But apparently McLaren have their own timing system.
Maybe they've got another internet connection that they're pulling it off of the World Wide Web.
I don't know, but the timing screens for us from the FIA never went down. So I'm not sure. That could have been a local situation in Montmelo.
Somebody tripped over a cable.
Exactly. The Nick Heidfeld. Did you see pictures of him in the paddock, in the garage, sleeping practically, watching other people drive? That's got to be rough.
Yeah, you know, okay, fine, I'm a driver with the Mercedes team, but I got guys that I was racing better than last year.
Yeah, but you know what? He's got to have a paycheck. He's got children.
He's got a good paycheck. He's in a position that should one of the other two drivers, you know, he could be in a competitive car.
Yeah, Schumacher.
And frankly, I'd almost rather be in his place than, say, Trulli or Kovalainen's spot, that's true. Maybe, you know.
That's true.
Where, you know, maybe you're getting on track, but dealing with the frustration of a car that can't finish.
I agree.
Or can't even get off the grid.
No, this is good for Nick Heidfeld. It's just that when the camera panned to him, I go, oh, Nick Heidfeld.
Poor Nicky.
Yeah. But, you know, I used to say that about Hans-Harald Frentzen. but anyway, Nico Hülkenberg and Nico Rosberg are still battling it out. And on lap 50, the team is telling Nico, what's the problem? You should be able to get by.
You should be past this guy already.
Yeah.
Get on with it.
Now, what I like about this, as soon as they tell him, he does it.
Yeah, exactly.
Attacks, gets in there, sticks his nose in.
Somebody should be saying that. Should have been saying that to Jens.
Exactly. That was my point completely. People saying you can't pass in Barcelona, blah, 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 dirty air. I don't know. I put a lot of this on the drivers.
Yeah, and I don't think dirty air, you know, watching this race, I don't think dirty air is as big a problem as it has been previously, because you see a pass like this, and you saw a lot of close, you know, following that was, you know, not really affecting the trailing car.
Right. Lap 51, the camera pans over to a piece of debris on the field, on the track.
Yeah, it looked like a piece of a front wing off an HRT.
Well, I thought it was a front wing off Virgin, but when you see the red, you can't tell if it's Virgin or McLaren.
Yeah, I actually think it may have been a piece of one of the HRTs from the earlier accident.
Yeah, it's possible.
Could have been a Virgin wing. Well, it was a piece of a back marker.
Exactly. From the leader to Michael Schumacher, it's over a minute now. Fantastic, fantastic drive from Mark Webber. Lap 53, Sebastian Vettel goes off for a moment. Into the gravel, gets through it, and he has to pit.
He pits.
And they think there's a problem.
I think there's a really big problem.
And I'm telling you, this is when Fernando says, hallelujah.
Hey, I think I'm getting on the podium.
Which was shocking. I did not think that this would happen. But Sebastian Vettel has to pit. There's a problem.
They change his tires, but he gets back out on track, and it's not tires.
He ain't got no brakes again.
He's got another brake problem. And it's really interesting to watch him, what, I think it was like the last six laps.
But I think he's lucky to get into P4. Because now these points are super valuable.
He's lucky to get back out on track, and he's got to thank Michael Schumacher for stretching out the field behind him.
Exactly.
Because if
he owes Michael Schumacher.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you.
I think Schultz delivered some strudel.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Race of Champions teammate.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought that was very lucky. Extra pit stop. He is told that he cannot drive fast. The brakes are going
to
go.
Very interesting to watch him go through the last six laps when they're on board. And you don't hear this very often, but he's full-blown engine braking this car to get it into corners, which in Formula One you hear downshifting, but nobody uses, you know, everybody uses brakes. They don't use the engine really to pull off speed. And he was doing an outstanding job to keep that car going and keep it on the track, because it's going to pay dividends.
Lap 55, it's Mark Webber, Lewis Hamilton, Fernando Alonso, Sebastian Vettel, and Michael Schumacher consistently hanging in there. Jensen, I'm sorry, but you had your chance and you didn't do it.
Yeah, well, and he's still got his chance, because he's not more than a second off of it. You know, he's still right behind Michael.
Right, right.
But, you know, the tires are pretty much gone at this point.
That's the other problem.
But the thing being is that Michael's tires are gone too.
And to be honest with you, I sort of wish we had refueling. Because if we had refueling, I think this race would have been a little bit more exciting.
Yeah, probably, because we would have had a second tire change, which would have made a huge difference in a couple of these battles.
Absolutely. Lap 56, we see the guys in the garage for Red Bull making room. And I'm going, what? Uh-oh. I thought they might decide that it's just not safe for Sebastian Vettel to be out there in this car with no brakes. You know what? Safety first. The lives of the drivers comes first, Steven. Not the points or the money.
Really?
Yep. And I thought they were going to call him in. I thought they were making room for Vettel. And they said, you know what, Sebastian? Your life is more important than those billions and billions of dollars. And I was wrong.
And the championship points.
And I was wrong. And they get on the horn, and they tell him to take it easy on the brakes. Your brakes are they're about to go, Sebastian. Just slow down.
Yeah, don't push. Baby them.
And you know, and I was very impressed on how he kept the car on the track. And he was still going fairly fast. The gap between him and Michael Schumacher.
Yep. Basically, they got to the point where this, you know, he's losing. He can lose 2 seconds a lap to Schumacher, and still beat him to the finish line.
Not only that, but Mercedes are looking at the telemetry and they're going, "Okay, this guy has no brakes. We're not catching him."
Yeah. And he's really only losing about a second, second and a half.
Very
a lap.
Impressive.
Just like I said, watching him downshift into some of those corners was pretty impressive to, you know, basically watch him use engine braking to slow his car down.
But on the other hand, Steve, why do these things happen to Sebastian Vettel's car and not Mark Webber? Is Mark Webber the Jenson Button in terms of smooth, not aggressive? I mean, he takes care of the car better.
Yeah.
We've got to get to the gist of all this.
Yeah, and I think that you're probably right. Maybe the little bit more experience that Mark's had, maybe the fact that Mark's been in cars that have been a little more susceptible to giving up on him during races. He's learned to, you know, kind of not really be hard on the car. He races them hard, but, you know, I can think back to, 5 years ago in Monaco in a Williams when he was in line for a podium spot,
Kablamo.
And the damn engine goes on him. You know, I felt so sorry for him because he was racing a phenomenally good race in a car that really wasn't exceptionally competitive.
Yeah.
And then to have the engine give up on him, you know, and right after, I think it was one of the Toro Rosso's had given up, or one of the Red Bulls had given up too. But, you know, and maybe it's a characteristic of the younger drivers that have come into the sport, especially the fast ones, in that they're hard on equipment.
That's true. Well, they used to say, you know, the way Fernando used to turn in when he was with the with Renault in 2005 and 6 and the Michelin tires, he had an unbelievable fast turn in, and it looked like it was rough on the car. But in the end, you know, that style won him the world championship.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure Vettel's style, which is very fast, and I think what Red Bull needs to do, you know, they're going to have to build the car to Sebastian Vettel just the way Mercedes Grand Prix is building a car to Michael Schumacher.
Well, ultimately, you know, you watch Adrian Newey cars, they tend to be a little fragile.
I know, but we can't always go up that road.
No, but I'm also about to say is that basically Red Bull needs to look at ways to toughen up the car without really losing performance.
Well, I'm sure they're comparing the spots and places on Sebastian Vettel's car that have weakened during the race, and then they look at Webber's car and why they're holding up.
Yeah.
And compare that data.
And maybe on Sebastian's car, you need to go with the next size up on the brake pads because you know he's going to brake harder during the race than Mark Webber is. You know, something of that nature.
Yeah.
But then also, it appears that he lost, you know, air to one of his, you know, or lost good airflow to one of his brake ducts. And maybe that was kind of an underlying cause of him losing his brakes.
And in the end, it could be just Mark Webber visiting the DNF chapel.
And throwing a really good tie.
Exactly. I mean, you know, there's a lot of variables here. You never know what's going on in these people's heads.
But I know someone who didn't visit the DNF chapel this week.
Yeah. Lap 60, Nico Rosberg is chasing Vitantonio Liuzzi for P14, which is sort of sad. Nico Rosberg putting in a pretty good drive, attacking, always a pretty good attitude after the race during interviews. And that's why I like
Well, not only that, but
never whining.
Hasn't he pretty much finished top 10 every race before this one?
Second into the championship before this race is over. So he's been doing very well. Keep up the good work, Nico.
But this weekend,
even with all the Michael Schumacher pressure, Nico is an outstanding dude.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Lap 61, the team is telling Sebastian Vettel to slow down. You're going to die out there.
The situation is critical.
Yep. And but he does a good job. And then on lap 65, shock of all shocks.
But, you know, talk about phenomenally good luck.
For whom?
For Fernando and Sebastian Vettel, too.
And the hombre muy macho de España, all of a sudden, I'm sure they're telling him on the radio, guess what? You're second, dude.
Yeah, and he's good. Well, they were talking about it. It's like, Michael, he's just, Fernando's driving his laps, and then 1 minute he's in fourth, the next he's in third. He's like, huh? Oh, okay. He's driving along in third, next minute they're calling him, hey, you're in second now. And he's like, huh? What?
Second okay. And. Second and no hands.
Yeah. Okay.
So, very impressive, and just bad luck for Lewis Hamilton. A puncture, they were blaming it on debris, perhaps on the track, which, you know, there was some accidents.
We saw some stuff out there, and there was also talk that it might have been a failure similar to what happened to Heikki Kovalainen last year at Spain, where basically he'd gotten a piece of gravel or something in the wheel well, and it basically machined down the rim and blew out the tire in that direction.
It's very possible. I'm sure they'll have a full investigation.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, knowing the press, we'll have some explanation during the week.
Yeah,
this week.
And Lewis Hamilton was very philosophical about it after the race in some of the interviews by the BBC. And of course, you know, he just chalked up, that's motor racing. Things happen. I'm going to move on.
Yeah, and unlike what happened to him in Italy last year, where he basically made a mistake to lose his position on the track.
This you know what I would do? I would get the transcripts of Rubinho's excuses.
Yeah.
And I would just read those just for laughs.
It was traffic.
It was traffic.
No, the guys were on the radio with me.
So keep up the good work, Lewis. You'll be fine, even though you know he's dropped. Now he's in the bunch.
Yeah, he ends up classifying in 14th.
Right,
to finish this race.
And I believe he's sixth now in the championship.
Yeah, and, you know, hey, top 10 in the championship, you know, we still got well over half of the season left.
Absolutely, absolutely. Plenty of time to go, but Mark Webber does an outstanding job. He has no problems with his Red Bull.
Nope.
And finishes and wins the Gran Premio de España. Fernando Alonso comes in second to the roar of the crowd. I mean, they are bonkers.
Oh, they've got to be bonkers. First he gets onto the podium, and now he's second.
Yeah.
After basically, and you know, 10 laps ago, he was not even going to be on the podium.
And I heard he bought all the drinks after the race.
Well, why weren't we there then?
San Miguel for everybody. So Sebastian Vettel, super lucky, finishes on the podium, which was great. Red Bull podium and a Ferrari in the middle. Michael Schumacher, great finish.
Yeah, and he ends up finishing fourth.
I mean, that's fantastic.
Holding off Jensen, but you know.
Button just couldn't get by. I think they finally passed after the checkered flag.
Yeah.
Jensen Button said, I'm getting by this guy.
Yeah. Probably give him the bird.
Probably. Probably, but.
Get out of my way, old man.
Well, not only that, but Jensen in the post-race interviews with all the drivers, he was whining about Schumacher, you know, passing him, coming out of the pits. And he thought that, you know, somebody of his experience shouldn't be doing that. And
But it's Michael Schumacher, dude. That's exactly his experience. He's going to take advantage of everything he can get his hands on.
Yeah, Jensen Button says he was disappointed with Michael Schumacher's move around the outside as he rejoined the track after his pit stop. I didn't really know where Michael was on the outside of me, said the reigning world champion. He turned in, and if I didn't back out of it, we would have crashed. Well, that's racing, you know, one reaction to another reaction. If you guys don't know what you're doing, yes, there's crashing. Yep. So, Jensen Button, you're the reigning world champion. Come on, be machismo. But I thought it was pretty bizarre out there with comments like that between him and Rubinho. I had enough comments for everyone. Also, the teams, you know, there was a lot of meetings because there's a lot of stuff going on about F-ducts and about tires.
Tires.
And I mean T-Y-R-E-S, Stephen. Tires. And apparently Pirelli wants to come in and be the sole supplier. But the biggest thing that a lot of the teams are trying to do is to convince Bridgestone to stay, to not to leave, even though I don't think that's going to happen The Japanese, once they make a decision, they stick to it.
Yeah, not only that, but Bridgestone, I think, with the economy the way it's been, and Bridgestone has got their noses in a lot of series, and this isn't a very expensive series to support, and it makes perfect sense to me that they're going to basically, you know, they've decided they're walking away, and they're going to walk away.
I agree. So we'll see what happens, whether it's Avon Cooper, Michelin, or Pirelli. I know one thing, I'm pretty sure Michelin won't come in unless there's it's a tire war, competitive market.
Yeah, Michelin doesn't want to be sole supplier because, frankly, there's no showcase for them.
Right.
Because ultimately, they want to be in a position where they can beat somebody else.
But that, but if you could look the other side of the coin on that, that gives possibility for somebody else to beat Michelin.
Yeah, but Michelin wants the I think, frankly, because for them, part of it is the competition. They, you know, sure they can be beat, but if they're not competing, then they don't. They probably feel that they're not pushing themselves to better the tire, to improve, to, you know, provide the teams with something that's better than what the other guys are giving them, kind of thing.
Of course, of course. So, yes, I agree. Okay, we have a couple of updates. First of all, I think you've got the forum updates from midweek.
I have the midweek forum updates.
That we didn't get to. And after that, we will do the 50 words on the Spanish Grand Prix, whether you
wonderful.
Like it or not.
Thanks to Francois Sever for sending us this week's updates. With the long three-week F1 break, it's been another relatively lethargic week in the F1 Weekly forums. The hot topic of the moment is still the discussions to know if Michael has always overrated all along his F1 career. Eventually, this discussion turned to who cheats the most, Schumacher or Fernando Alonso. Sion had to resist the attacks against Alonso from a series of other forum members. It seems many people never forgot those text messages and emails exchanged with De La Rosa. Let it go, people. Some people are interested in the discussion about the future of Vittorio Liuzzi in Formula 1. Some believe he'll be replaced by De Resta for 2011. Some say Vittorio still deserves his place at Force India. Looks like many of the forum members would like to see Mark Webber retire at the end of the current season and then Sutil move on to Red Bull. This would probably keep Vittorio in F1 next year. Tricky Dick wants to know if any forum members owns a Porsche Cayenne. He thinks people driving Cayennes need mental help. Isn't this like a rehash of the Mazda thing? Interesting video links were posted regarding the huge Formula 2 accident in Marrakesh. Some members question if F2 is less safe than Formula 1 these days. And in the F1 Weekly Driver Rankings, Ayrton Senna is leading the rankings at the moment. The only issue seems to be that the forum members don't agree yet on how to build the ranking. The Countryside thread has reached almost 5,200 posts, and the current discussion is the UK election and the British electoral system. In the petrol-powered garden implement thread, Ye is telling us of his efforts to resuscitate Marine, his lovely red-orange ride-on mower. Special kudos to our producer David Tapius. Forum members were touched, and very emotional comments were posted in regard to his wedding video posted this week in the forum. Thank you, Francois. We appreciate it.
Okay, let's go ahead and hit the 50 words on the Spanish Grand Prix. This is from Kaysen. Webber gets it at last. That German guy finds a car more to his taste also at last. Mercedes still with a way to go, though. Looks like the championship going Red Bull's way, if only they can keep going. Hamilton out without a tire again. Haven't we seen this before?
Motor racing fan Rosberg, absolutely on fire, but not on the circuit. Red Bull wall blocks Lewis and Fernando. Sebastian Carbreaker Vettel busts another one. Michael happier, but Mercedes still struggling. Kobayashi gets past lap 11 and finishes. Lewis left deflated by his tires. And Fernando Alonso drives single-handedly to second. Webber in a different league.
From Iceman, a serene drive by Webber. Lewis is all tired out. Nando lucks into second. Vettel's car holds together for third. Just. The shoe is on the other foot at Mercedes. Button salvages some points. No Ferrari kablamos today. The newbies still haven't stepped up to the plate. We badly needed some weather.
Yeah. Orpheus writes, Weber brilliant all weekend. Vettel shows his mettle, bringing an injured car to the podium. Heartbreak for Hamilton. Podium hopes burst as quickly as his tire. Alonso ascends to penultimate podium step. Sends thank you card to Hamilton. Professor Schumacher gives brilliant demonstration of defensive driving. Backmarkers become bothersome.
From Koala, Weber dominates for a win, so I'm happy. Weber dominates for a win, so I am a happy Vegemite. Virgin lapped multiple times, but excited they finished. They could have saved millions by buying a GP2 car and been just as fast. Quickly from Sardag, nice drive by Webba. Well done, mate. Racing gods were on Seb's side, not Lewis. And finally from Interraptor, Weber saw other cars only when he lapped them. Vettel again brought home a broken bull. Nando showed Felipe what can be done with a Ferrari. Nico now knows how it really is to have Schumi as a teammate. And Mr. Smooth, still leading the championship, Alguersuari, gets another point. So there you have it.
And then Ye writes, Button 70, Hamilton 49.
Uh-oh. And, of course, Fernando Alonso is at 67.
Yes, the driver standings as they stand right now. Jens in first with 70. Fernando in second with 67. Sebastian Vettel, Mark Webber, Nico Rosberg, Lewis Hamilton, Felipe Massa, Robert Kubica, Michael Schumacher, and Adrian Sutil. McLaren is leading the Constructors' Championship by 3 points over Ferrari and 6 points over Red Bull. And then Mercedes, followed by Mercedes, Renault, Force India, Williams, STR, Sauber, and Lotus, who have none.
Thank you, Stephen, for another outstanding standings update. Thank you very much. If you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, check out the San Francisco Formula One Group.com, SFF1.com. They're always doing some fantastic activities, and they usually meet up at some terrific bar and grills. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2010 Redline Oil Karting Championship. Karting offers CRG karts, engine parts for all karts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California karters. Just go to CameronKarting.com. For you listeners of F1 Weekly, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. I personally recommend House Rules by Jody Picou, The Big Short by Michael Lewis. To download your free audiobook today, go to audiblepodcast.com/F1Weekly. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/F1Weekly for your free audiobook. Of course, we have Facebook and Twitter. If you wish to tweet or twat, just go ahead and find us. If you like to advertise or just, you know, send us an email, info.
If you want to advertise or promote your website, or just send us a check.
Yeah. Even better, just send us a check to moi in California. Just email us at info@f1weekly.com. We will be happy to promote your product for a nominal sum. But it's cheap.
Compared to what other advertising rates are,
yep,
we're easy.
We're bargain basement. So there you have it, Steve. Another outstanding Grand Prix de España. Of course, Nasser, who
was there.
He sent me an email, and we've got some good interviews coming, guys. We got some surprises, and I'm not divulging anything.
We'll save those for Nasser when he gets
back. Yes, but if you guys want a hint about one of our interviews, go to the F1 Weekly Facebook page and look at my picture. And if you can guess who that is, well, that's the interview we got. So there you have it. So thanks a lot for listening. Good night.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.